It's obvious as we look outside that we know the seasons are getting ready to change. And of course, you know, most of us, we especially love the season of fall, because that's whenever Yahweh's holy days predominantly come in. And not only that, but because of the fact that we're looking at observing the Feast of Trumpets, that's kind of a special one in itself, because that set off the chain of events that will occur in the seventh month. And when that happens, then we know that we're getting that much closer to the kingdom of Yahweh coming to this earth. There's a lot of passages in the Bible that explain what things are going to happen, what they've observed. And of course, we know that some people, they maybe don't... up a little bit, okay. Some people may not want to see this. And in fact, it's ironic because I was talking to my brother on the phone here not too long ago. Last week, as it was, and he believes in the rapture, and he's waiting for the rapture to come. In fact, he thinks he doesn't even. I said, Carl, what do you know about blooding the new moons? They said, how do you know about the new moons? You've never observed them. And, you know, I had several conversations with him through the years, but one time he wasn't interested in knowing about these tabernacles, but that was so long ago, I wouldn't even count that as anything. So anyway, we have quite a few things that are going on. And, you know, every time we keep the Feast of Trumpets, if nothing else, it is a reminder that Yahshua is going to be coming in, okay? And he is, of course, going to fulfill these scriptures. The ones that are happening, and it's, like I said, it's really interesting to see how many of these passages there are. Let's start with the first one. Let's go to Joel chapter 1. Now, let's see. Joel chapter 1. It's one of my favorites. My son took that chapter, as a matter of fact. It had something to do with it anyway. Don't worry, Joel. Okay, here we have over in Joel's second chapter. You have the 5:1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of Yahweh cometh. For it is nigh hand. And you see here the day of Yahweh. Talking about. Now, the day of Yahweh, you know, we know that the Christians, they say it's a Sunday. I don't know what they're talking about. It's a time, it's a day, one day. And when Yahweh, whenever he decides the clock, the prophetic clock is going to move ahead, so to speak, then he will do that. And you know, we know that things are going to be extremely difficult for especially Yahweh people in time of the end. And you know, it's up to us to have a very close relationship with Yahweh and Yahshua, and with each other, because we know the scriptures, they tell us of various things are going to happen. Let me finish this chapter out here, just a couple paragraphs, and read, and then we'll go to the next one here. But again, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. This holy mountain, of course, that represents the government of Yahweh. Anytime you see that, especially in the Old Testament, it's the equivalent of what you see on when Yahshua called it the kingdom. And so that's what we're looking for, the kingdom of Yahweh to come to this earth. And you know, and Yahshua, he is very, he knows what he wants to do. And so, you know, it'll be done. Like it says in the Master's Prayer, and our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day daily prayer, and on and so forth. But, you know, it's one of those things that if you learn it, I have to think sometimes. That's not a good thing when you're up front. You have to think. So that's this life. Okay, and we'll look now at verse 15, 2:15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people to sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of the chamber, and the bride out of her closet. So again, you know, this is what's happening. You know, we have articles, I guess, on the ten virgins, you know, five foolish, five wise, and it kind of fills it in right here with that, because you know, they have to. He mentions here. Let's use 2:8. Let me see. Yeah, 2:8. And so it says, he says here, and I shall come to pass, it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit is a very interesting subject, isn't it? And we look upon it as the power from on high. And of course, we know, being a spirit, you know, we know these old KJVs sometimes will translate that ghost. And that's not accurate at all. So then you have that, and you have these other, the other translations are out there too. And, you know, they are not as accurate as they could be, certainly. But, you know, when you see the Holy Spirit, and you know it's Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew, then you know that it has to do with the breath. Now, you know, I'm up here and I'm breathing. If I stop breathing, I'm going to fall down. You're not going to see me again for quite a while. But anyway, if that's the case, but, you know, it shows here that he will pour out, in verse 28 again, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And this is what Peter was quoting from, and probably the main sermon he preached. This is the keynote, the whole sermonette. And you know, they knew that you didn't have to preach 4 hours to get your point across. Now, I used to teach the homiletics course somewhere, and when I kept it there, I would not put up with guys that had to, they were just in it for, you knew they were in it for the wrong reasons, and it says something will get you. But you know, it was shown that the Spirit of Yahweh is the breath of Yahweh. Okay, and so if you, like it says in Genesis 1, in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. When the earth was formed, void and barren, small face deep. Okay, so you made it through that one. Now the it mentions that. It means, you see that mention again, verse 28, and move up down to verse 29. And also upon the servants and handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yahweh come. That's pretty bad, huh? It should. You know, we have to realize that even though, you know, we repent of our sins and we're seeking to walk with Yahweh and Yahshua, as we would, you know, they talk about the walking in the way and Hederek and all that. But you know, and the Jews have a neat way to look at that, because they consider it all, you know, like as a unity. And it's basically this was teaching there. But anyway, if we move on to verse 32, you see, verse 31 again shows the blood, the moon, and the blood, and everything. And we know this. We're all, I don't know about you, but I'm waiting to see it's an old solar eclipse of the sun. And when that happens, you know, they said there hadn't been like that seen in this area for, I think it's 1,400 years ago. It's a long time. I remember I saw one where I was working before, and you know, these things occur. They occur whenever the moon and the sun and the earth always be in a row, okay. And then what happens is the moon moves in. It's moving all the time. Everything in this universe is moving. There's nothing that's standing. If we'd stand still, we don't know what would happen. And the irony is, I keep watching those PBS shows. And the ones I'm really going for these days are the ones about the sun and the moon and that. And they show how that the that can actually be very significant. You go to Genesis chapter 1. And you see there in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about what comes forth as far as from all these things. It shows what they're doing there. Let me see. I still haven't gotten used to these books and turning the pages on them. It'll come eventually, I guess. Creation day, okay. Okay. I need to mark this. I've been marking my books up. This is my mainstay right here. This is my homestay. This is my original one. That's the one, you know, the copy notes out of mine and out of Alan's and Randy's and Forest Forum, more people. I don't want to miss anybody, but you know, a lot of people aren't here. They gave that knowledge so that you and I can gain even further knowledge. That is great. And they didn't have to do anything like that either, but they did it. And of course, you see here again, it's showing you on what day was the, let me see. Just call it out if you see it. Okay. Here we have it over here in Genesis 1, 26. Let me see. And 16. Okay. Let me, okay, then here we go. Well, 14 we'll start with. 1:14. And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, to divide the day from the night, and to let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. This certainly was going to be a sign in the heavens, and I'm not going to predict anything going to happen, because you know, I think sometimes people, well, I did several of them. There was that whole cult, remember that, maybe like 10 years ago or so, and they thought that this thing was something special, and they were going to, they all ended up committing suicide. That's silly for something like that. But I think it was Carmichael Hotek. I think it was back in the, it's even further than that. But anyway, I'm showing my age a little bit here. I don't feel bad, though. I think I'm in pretty good company here. Look around and see. Yeah, you see my, I see ones that used to be by knee-high to a grasshopper. And yet they're all getting bigger. Bigger is better sometimes. Okay, then. So here we have, again, the fact that the these things were all going to come to being. It says, and Elohim took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So, you know, that's what happened there. Now, if we go over to, I'm going to go back to where I was thinking about it. Let's see. I'll eventually get there. There is actually a purpose behind some of these scriptures I have here. So, anyway, we see here that go to Matthew chapter 24. That again shows a striking view of what's going to happen at the time at the end. Now, yeah, we're seeing, and we know it is described there that in the heavens, that all these, you know, the earth and all the other stuff's going to come into being. And you know, I saw some of those shows again. And some of the points you're making are really marvelous, because you know, when you look up at the stars at night, they say you can only see half of them, because it's, you know, there's two hemispheres, and you actually are seeing. They said 10 billion, I think they said. Yes, so you can see half a billion. You can see half that when you're outside with the you know, all that stuff set up like that. And anyway, the. You know, it's all start to come together, time to the end, all this stuff. But let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Yeah, if I ever get my good pace back again, I used to have, I might be able to keep you all awake. You can blame me if you fall, Blake. Okay, here we have in Matthew 24, it says the all the prophecy. And this is when the disciples asked him, what's going to be like the time of the end? The first thing he mentions is about the temple. And how that's going to be all turned, there will be no stone unturned. And he goes in verse 20, he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So you know, there's things that are going to happen beforehand. And those things are going to remind us that we have to be a circumspect people. We're supposed to be a people who are separate from the world. And you know, if we're going to make it in the future, you look at this and you almost live by it. In fact, you really have to live by it to get anything out of this as far as the benefits. Maybe we don't want to be on the wrong side of Elohim, Yahweh, when he comes. And so when that happens, we have to watch out. Okay, let me see. Matthew 24 again. And then in verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And that's something hated by all nations. That's ethnos, that word in the Greek. And the ethnos, and it's ironic because they still use that today. It's just part of, it's one of the words that has been translated, the word, I think it came out of Greek, and it's here. So they have in verse 11, many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, it certainly isn't the same concept that's held in Christianity. And the Jews that have rejected Yahshua, it's the same thing. We're just, they're on the wrong side. And you know, they say I get so infuriated one time with my brother. I tell him, boy, I said, you can't, how do you do that? Because his wife literally hates Yahweh. She didn't want to hear that name at all. He was trying to tell me that one time. That's his name. But he said, it's not his name. He said, and he was trying to show me. I used that article. I don't know how many you get. I think a lot of people get in the archaeology review here. And that one had it was about 10 years now. I gave it over to Debbie so she can maybe learn some out next week. But it's a very strict, scholarly way of showing that Yahweh's name is Yahweh. He didn't hedge anything, he didn't let anything go, he just told us the way it was. I think this man is still alive, I hope he is. But that was with the article that they had written years ago, and they had decided his name, they made a decision they would use Yahweh only. Well, what they're doing with biblical archaeology review is they're getting a lot of information from people, and probably just many Christians, maybe more so than the Jews are. Of course, this is what they find here is that they false prophets, and then it discusses that, and how if it wasn't for the elected, even the elected could die, and they could end up surrendering themselves to Satan, the adversary, so to speak. Let me go up to verse 24, 27 now. It says, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. So just before us, we're running through these things, where is the Messiah? And some people say they saw him here, so they saw him there. But if they're not on the right side with Yahweh, they'll be destroyed anyway. So if we go back here, let's drop down to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And I say that when you look at night, you see the stars, in fact, half of the stars don't even exist anymore. I thought it was astounding. People think that the Earth people, we tend to have more of, I think, a bit of an arrogant attitude about what our place is in these end times. We're nothing like Yahweh, Yahshua, believe me. And if that's the case, then we want to make sure that we're doing, again, what's right before Yahweh. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, what do I want to say here? Immediately after the tribulation. It's very significant because trying to think how to do it. I'd have to change that to insert something in there to show there's a rapture. Well, we can't do that because there is no rapture. I say, I always have words with my brother, but the last time I told him, I said, Mom was here, I said, she wouldn't approve it, Bill. But anyway, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And if the powers of heavens shall be shaken, and it says, and when shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then it shall be all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Heaven with power and great glory, and he shall ascend his sent his angels with around the great sound, a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four corners, from the four winds, from the ends of heaven. So you look at this here too, and it's going to happen at the time of the end. Like I said, if you look back there at verse 24, it shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. And that's been one of those things we've been kind of toying with. Yeah, well, you know, it's the kids who got involved in that, and with blowing the trumpets and stuff. And you can see by interfering, I thought it was the right move for them. You know, the boys and even the girls, they all need somebody to be there for them. You know, parents are different than they used to what they had to be. Sometimes you have children, you have to work. If you're the mother of the house, I believe that can be very bad. You know, with our kids, Debbie she used to work for an organization I was in one time, and you know, she would not let them take any of our kids, put them in this daycare center they had. It wasn't even, you know, it was on the sly and everything else, but they anyway, that's what they did there. And then they blow the sound of the trumpet to gather together the elect from the four winds, from the of heaven and the other. So here we have that. And we're seeing, when, you know, when this section shows when Yahshua will return. And as this was given to him, then we know, and it's also in this threat, in this book here, that if you look first in verse 24:21, for then shall be a great tribulation, such as was since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. And for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And then you drop down to verse 24. For there shall rise false messiahs and false prophets and wonders, as much as that, if... unless we're being here. And these false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, as much as if it were possible they would deceive the very elect. And there's some scriptures there. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers. Believe it not. I have a feeling that was talking about the Bauhaus there at the back, so to speak. And anyway, I mentioned that here in verse 27. For the lightning come out of the east and shineth in the west, so shall it also be the coming of the Son of Man be. For whoever real carcasses there is, it will be, the evils be gathered together immediately after that tribulation of those days. So the sun be darkened, and of course we've already done already. So it shows what's going to happen here in time of the end. Now, We can look at some more here. I'm getting right up against my time, I think, even. Okay. Yeah, we'll look at one more here. Yeah, we see what's going on, and we know that what's going to happen is Yahshua is going to return, and when he returns, he's not going to be very friendly to anybody, I'll tell you that. Yeah, it's one of those things, if you look in the scriptures enough, you hear about like the two witnesses, you know. And those guys are going to be pretty tough guys. There aren't going to be any weaklings around there. Because, you know, it's kind of frightening if you think about it, because there'll be the last two that are dead, and there'll be the first two to be resurrected. They'll be lying in the streets, it says, for what, probably Rome or something like that, that big area there where the Pope hangs out and whenever he's going to do something. But, they don't want to do it right. They're going to change themselves. Let's see. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:15. And, you know, we're seeing different things. We know Yahshua's going to return. He's going to establish the kingdom. And, you know, I'll just mention some of these scriptures too. Which you have over in the beginning of Isaiah there, where it talks about how the people of Yahweh, that his government will be the government over all people. And, you know, right now they have, I don't know how many nations we have, but there's 200 something there. They could go over to New York City to the see what they have to say over there with that going there. But if you go here again, 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read the last two verses here, well, three. Then cometh the end, when he shall be delivered up, the kingdom to Yahweh, and the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all the enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And you figure that's the way out, I guess, for some people. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world right now. And, you know, whatever this stuff means, you know, maybe we're dragging our feet a little bit on what we think about that. But, you know, I still enjoy reading the Bible, and there's just all the prophecy that talks about different things, but I'm sure you get to say, I get goosebumps sometimes on this. But anyway, that's all there is. I will thank you for listening to me, and I hope next time I can do better. I know I've got to work on my speaking and stuff, but that goes with the disease I have. They tell me anyway. So anyway, I appreciate you listening. Yeah, God bless you.